We're up to the 12th Midah, Midah Hayud Beis, Ashishbata Labayseinu. Just to finish off the previous Midah, last week, which was the 11th Midah, Chesed Lavrom. Titin Emes LeYakov was the one before that, and then was Chesed LeAvrom. And the Talmud Devar was Masbir, the difference. Titin Emes LeYakov are referring to people who basically they deal with Emes, meaning that they do not go beyond, they do not go lifnim mishuras adin, but titen emes liyakov, basically they follow the letter of the law, but they don't go beyond that. And that's also madrega. And then there was the midah of chesed avrom. Chesed avrom means chesed to people who conduct themselves like Avraham. That was the interpretation of the Torah Medavere, because Avraham Avinu, he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifnim mishuras adin. So chesed l'avrom means that these people will be zoiche to extra chesed min hashumayim, because Baruch will not be noig with them al pidin, but rather lifnim mishuras adin. Because chesed l'avrom, because Baruch will be noig with chesed l'avrom to those that conduct themselves like the mid of Avrom, lifnim mishuras adin. It's an illustration that we find, as a matter of fact, such a type of a hanoge, which is something that years ago was talked about. It is known that the Divrei Chaim, the Sons of Ruf, who of course is the Sheirish of the Bobova dynasty and the Klosenberger dynasty, and many others. Divrei Chaim Sanza was once making his way, traveling from one mokim to another. And he goes to a particular town, and as he's walking through the town, he all of a sudden he stops by a particular house. And he announces and he says, I can't go further from this particular house, he says, because there's a Reach Gan Eden coming out of this house. I smell a Reach Gan Eden. So therefore we have to stop here. We have to stop at this house. This house happened to belong to a Yid by the name of Rav Pesach. Rav Pesach was a Gabbai Tzedakah. So they knocked on the door. They knocked on the door of Rav Pesach's house. He opens it out immediately. And the Divrei Chaim, the Sons of Ruf, Rav Chaim Sanzer, he goes in. And he starts sort of like to walk around the house, this corner to that corner. And every place that he stopped, he started like smelling the reyach that's coming in various areas of the house. And as he's walking around, he stops by a particular closet and says, over here, he says. Here's where it's coming from. He says, the reyach Gan Eden that I margish, that I'm able to smell, comes out of this particular closet. So he says to Rav Pesach, he says, open it up, I want to see what's inside. What can you possibly have inside that is bringing out a Reach Gan Eden? Pesach sort of was like stunned, the unusual request that the great Rebbe is interested to see what he has in his closet. So he opens up the closet. He opens up the closet, and what does he see? He sees there's clothes hanging there. Pesach was a noni ve'avin, he was a gabbai tzedakah, but for himself he didn't have anything. So he sees tattered clothing, he sees shmatis, matutu. Now, one whole beged he didn't find. But as he was looking through, beged after beged after beged, here, he says, here's what's coming from. What was it? It happened to be an outfit of a galach, of a priest, of a koimer. It was a priest. A priest's garment that was in there. And he says, here, it's coming from here. The Reach Gan Eden's coming here. And the Rebbe says, he says, explain to me, he said, how's it shaykh? He says that there is an outfit of a galach, of a priest, priest's uniform, and the Reach Gan Eden's coming from here. He was sort of bewildered and thought maybe the Rebbe was making fun of him or so. So he said, no, no. He says, from here, from this garment, there's a Reach Gan Eden coming out of here. And tell me, how do you get this bechlal? And to have it and to store it in your closet. What's the whole inyan? So Petah had no choice. So the Rebbe asked him, so he has to tell him. So he says, I want you to know. He says, I'm a gabbai tzedakah. And as such, he says, every night, I says, I make my rounds. I go from house to house. I collect tzedakah and then I distribute it. So v'yayoyim, no day different than the other day. He says, I make my rounds. He says, from mokim to mokim. And when I'm finished, he says, I find that there's a yid waiting for me at home. After I finished distributing the money, I collected the money, distributed it. I had nothing left anymore. And there's a yid then, and he's crying. And he says, you got to help me, he says. Who do I come to? I come to the gabbai tzedakah. He says, the chayvis, he says, and the debts have already accumulated, he says, an enormous amount. He says, the debtors are after me, and I have no choice anymore. It's already the end of the line. If you're not going to help me somewhat, who's going to help me? And Reb Pesach pleads with the Yid and says, don't you understand? He says, he would have come. He would have come a half an hour earlier, an hour earlier. He says, there would have been something left to give you. He says, I have nothing to give you. I already made my rounds. He says, now I distributed all the money. It's empty now. Would you expect me to go a second time to the same people? And the Yid didn't take an offer and answer. He said, he couldn't accept any logic because his matziv, was so painful in such a situation that you needed a Yeshua. And that is all there was. Whatever it takes. And the Pesach, being the Gabbat Tzedakah and being the Rachman that he was, says, okay, he says, you know, what I've got to lose? He says, the worst is, he says, I'll go over to the same houses. Either they'll give me or they'll throw me out. At least I tried. In Kachavit. So he goes again from house to house and explains the whole story. He says, Loilam said, this is not my derech, this is not my style. I don't go to the same people again. I have no choice. Here is the Zid. I meet him in my house, and this is the story, and this is the problem. There's no other source. He has no one to turn to. And therefore, he says, I'm forced to come to you again. No, some gave, some didn't. And if they gave with a groan. But Sof Kol Sof, he managed to collect epis something, epis chochik. And as a result, fine. It doesn't take more than 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and there's another knock on the door. And there's another Yid, the same night. And this Yid, again, a similar story, says that they hadn't eaten for days, and the family is starving. And now there's already a matzav, you know, which is a matzav of pikuach nefesh. And he says, if you're not going to help me, he said, literally, we're not going to make it through the next day. It's impossible. He says, you got to help me. And at Pesach, again, as much as he tries to explain to him, he says, I already went twice, he says, he told him. I normally go once. I went twice, he said, to the same people. You expect me to go a third time? How can I go a third time? Even twice was a chiddush in the same night. I can't go. And the Yid again, the same thing, same story, he says. But what, he said, Pekuach Nefesh, he says, what, you want to see a whole family go out in hunger, in starvation? So the kid says, so at Pesach, an idea came to his mind. He goes from house to house, but there happens to be a bar that he didn't go into. He doesn't go into that to collect tzedakah. And the bar was frequented by Jewish people, but not very, very religious people, you can imagine. And this is the way it was. And that's how they spent the time. And he figured, listen, again, they might mock him, they make fun of him, they throw him out, whatever it is, he'll try. And he goes in there. As soon as he steps into the bar, and there were some 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, nightlife, just enjoying themselves, just drinking one after another, but they knew him because they lived in the same town. How big was that town already? And as Reb Pesach says, Reb Pesach, you're coming here for tzedakah, you're also in a bar, is this the place where you're looking to find tzedakah? Here you expect people to give you tzedakah. And Pesach Lamaisi, he tells him the story. He says, listen, he says, you know, I never come into here. But this is a situation which is a very desperate situation. We have a case here, Mamish, a family, a Pekuach Nefesh case. I had no choice. I just couldn't. My eyes and my heart just, I couldn't close my eyes and my ears to the pain and to the sorrow that I hear that's before me. So one of them, a wise guy, said, hey, listen, says, I'll make a deal with you, he says. He says, you know, he says, this was the son of the Gevir, a rich family. And he says to them, you know something, he says, not too long ago, there was a particular galach who spent some time in our house. He slept the night over. The situation, there was a certain sort of like a business relationship with my father, whatever it was. He says, and the next day, he left behind a galach's outfit. So just for a souvenir, says this bocher, this 25-year-old, he says, so my father decided to keep it, but we still have it. I'm going to make a deal with you. And he wanted to mock him. So he said, listen, if you, Reb Pesach, agree to put on this galach's outfit, this priest's outfit, and we're going to walk you through the streets, from street to street, and let people see the Gabbat Tzedakah, you know, walking around with his galach's outfit, and if you are ready to accept this upon yourself, I'm going to lay out the entire money, everything that you need. He says, it's 3 rubles. He says, we'll give you 3 rubles. That's a lot of money those days. And the patient was thinking to himself, I'll be the fool of the town. Town's fool. He says, how am I going to put on a galach's uniform? That? And you can imagine that they're going to make the most of it. And sure enough, the patient says, I have no choice. He says, this is the only way that I can raise some money. And he agreed. He was maskim to take the bezyonis, to tolerate all the bezyonis. And he puts on that galach's uniform, that outfit. And sure enough, you know, through that bocher, you know, and his friends, they made the most of it. You know, they paraded him through the streets and they beat the drums here. You know, people coming out on the balconies, men and women looking at this. They're saying, what's some shagas in his head? It's not Purim today. He said, he's walking around with his galach's outfit. And so, barely he made it through the town, you know, containing and absorbing all of the bizarreness and all the embarrassment. And finally, but sure enough, he said, at the end of the round, He says to him, you know what? A deal was a deal. And he gave him Taka the money, and he was able to give the money to the Oni. He says, Reb Pesach, that's the story. And being that this was the outfit that I wore, you know, with such, he says, bizyoinis and everything, in order to raise some money, I still have it, just to remember what I had to go through. So the Divrei Chaim says, the Sanhedrin says, that's why there's a Reach Gan Eden coming from this suit. Because you took upon yourself such Mesiras Nefesh to help another Yid, that you were willing to suffer all the embarrassment and all the bizyoinis. He says, in order to raise a little bit of money to save a family at your own expense, sacrificing your covet, sacrificing your dignity, and absorbing all of the blows and all of the bizyoinis and all of the bushes. That's who, he says, there's a Reach Gan Eden. And the Divrei Chaim told him, the Sanhedrin said, I want you to write a will, and you say like this, when the time comes that you pass on, they should bury you with this Galach's outfit, and you'll go straight to Gan Eden. He says, you won't need anything. The Malachi Chabola, he says, all the Fashidun and Malachim that are just waiting to take hold of every Neshama when it comes up, right? And want to attack him, and want to do the things, you know, bring him to judgment and all the other situations. You're going to go straight to your Mokim in Gan Eden, he says, and make sure that they bury you in this outfit. And because this was the outfit that you were Mekayim and Mitzvah with such Mesiras Nefesh, and you tolerated all the bizyoinis and all the embarrassment for the sake of another Eid. This was one chelik of the Maisa. Reb Sholem Shadron, many years ago, he said and related that there's a stickle sequel to the story, which is even more fascinating than the first part. And the sequel is, Reb Pesach, in fact, was buried when his time came. It was a cemetery in one of the cities in Poland. And as you know, which was very customary, and still quite happens, unless there are protests and there are people who get together, the government, many, many times, they have to run highways, they have to run roads. In order to do that, they need to go run right through a cemetery. Like you see here on the highways by you have over here on the Interborough Highway. I know people are aware, but that ran through a cemetery and many graves were uprooted, if you know that. Many graves were uprooted to make that highway. You see a highway and you see a cemetery on the right, on the left, there was something in the middle too. In any case, it was very, very common. So the Polish government had a plan. They thought this was what they did, to run a road right through the cemetery as a result. So they had to exhume, they had to remove certain kfarim and be mefana them, to move them from one place to another. Among the kfarim that they had to remove happened to be the kaver of this Reb Pesach, the Gabbai Tzedakah. It was many years after he was nifter. When they removed his body, it is said that his entire body was whole, was not decomposed, except one leg. You know why? Because the Galach's outfit was missing one leg of the pants. So Mela, the rest of the body that was covered by that suit was protected and did not decompose. But that one leg that was not covered, didn't have that schus of that mitzvah, of that mysterious nefesh to gebeged, that leg, in fact, decomposed. It was a difference between the whole body. And this is it's an amazing, amazing story. And Reb Sholem actually printed it many years later. Not he printed it, someone at Yisrael actually printed that story that he had heard from Reb Sholem about this Reb Pesach. So in any case, this gives us a little bit of idea what Chesed Avraham of a Yid being able to go lifnim Mishuras Adin, go way, way beyond the letter of the law, and we can see, of course, how that is appreciated in Shemayim, as we can see, of course, the schus and the reward that Reb Pesach had warranted. So now we go, Rabbi Yisai, we go to the next midah, it's midah Hayud Beis, it's page 28 in the standard term of the virus that we have. The next midah, this is one before the last, because there are 13. This is the midah Hayud Beis. Asher Nishbata L'Avoseinu, which basically means that you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you have sworn to our ancestors. What is the meaning of that midah? And again, what do we learn from that midah? Because we know all of these Yud Gimel midahs are attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore in turn it behooves us, it means it's Mechayiv us that we ourselves have to follow. So what does it mean, Asher Nishbata L'Avoseinu, and therefore how do we relate it to our own lives? Because every midah that we see here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhoge, that means we have to learn from that and incorporate that midah in our own lives as well. So, Asher Nishbata L'Avoseinu, what does that mean? First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhoge, that which he swore to our ancestors. Says the Torah of the Vayre, Yesh bnei yodom she'einam hagunim. There are people who are unworthy. Yet, v'kodesh baruch hu merachem al kulam. It's yitochen that people do not really have enough schusim, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmonis, he has rachmonis on all of them. Where do we find the source for that? Uperishu b'gemara, there's a gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin. The gemara says on the posik, v'chanoisi es asher ochoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I will show favor to whom I choose to show favor. In other words, it doesn't mean that someone necessarily will earn it, because it says, I will choose to do favor. If someone earned it, then he earned it. But the Pasuk says, I will give favor, right? I will show favor to whom I choose to show favor. Oh, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu can choose. Which means, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Oitzer Zeh, this treasure house, this storehouse, is Le'oysam She'enom Hagunim. There is a very special storehouse, a treasure house, that is designated for people to draw from, davke people who are unworthy. In other words, yesh oitzer chinunim. There is a storehouse of chinunim, of favor and grace, shakadosh baruch hu choinein v'noisein lohem matnas chinam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu poshit, he gives them a matona that they really didn't deserve. But there is such a midah, and we'll soon explain on what basis that midah works. But there is a midah, v'chanoisis asher ochoin, I will show favor to whom I choose, meaning even though they may not be hagunim. That's a gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin. As a matter of fact, this is the posik in Parshas Kisiso, and the Medrash in Parshas Kisiso goes as far as to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu all of the storage houses of Schar, as it were, because it says v'ani aver es kol tuvi al ponecho. What does it mean? Ani aver es kol tuvi means HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will be maver, I will show you kol tuvi, all the good that is in store for tzaddikim al ponecho, I will show alponecho. I'll show you. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees particular storage houses one after the other. He says, "His oitzer zelami," says the Medrash. Moshe asks, "To whom does this oitzer?" He says, "Let tzaddikim." He says, "Let's say those who do tzedokis." Oitzer zelami. He says, "People are machaya almonos," and so on and so forth. Different oitzeres, different storage houses for different people. Then he sees an oitzer godoil. He sees a tremendous storage house, and he says, "To whom does this go for? To whom do these treasures go for?" And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to those that are unworthy. Fascinating thing. There's a big treasure house to those that are unworthy. This is what he means. He's quoting, this is really a medrash. He's not mentioning that this is a medrash. In other words, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oitzer Zeh. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing all the different oitzeres. He's showing all the different storage houses of Schar. And this oitzer goes for these people, that oitzer goes for those people. Different Maisim Toivim have different rewards, and so on. Therefore, there's different oitzeres. And then he asked about one particular one, this large one, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Oitzer Zeh Lo'isam She'enom Hagunim. Just a Gaburche. There's a Pirush Eitz Yosef on the Medrash, and the Eitz Yosef comes very quickly to say. So what does it mean? People who deserve it, they get Tchar from a small storage house, and Oitzer Godel, this large, large storage house, right? This goes for people who are not worthy. So what does that mean? Does that mean that people who are not Hagun and people that are not worthy, that they're going to get more Tchar than the people who are worthy? Says the Eitz Yosef, no, you don't understand. He says, if you count all the people, and you make a cheshbon, what are the roiv doing? Are the roiv worthy or are the roiv unworthy? The roiv are unworthy. So Mela, you need an oitzer gadol to be able to distribute even little schar for so many people. That's why you need a big oitzer, not because the individual gets a lot, but there are so many people that need to get from the matnas chinam more than those who deserve. Those who deserve, of course, will get much more schar. But the oitzer gadol is for those who don't deserve, because there's so many of them. And being there's so many of them, there has to be enough so to distribute to each and every one. So there is quantity. It's not the quality of the schar, it's the quantity. There's so many different schars, or numbers of schar, that has to be given to so many different people. But at Kaponim, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly has an oitzer, which is designated even for those that are unworthy. So on what basis is that? So he says, Lefi, Shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Harei Yesh Lehem Zchus Avos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, maybe they are unworthy, but they have the Avos. They are Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, VeYaakov. That Zchus Avos that they have allows them to receive Schar, right? Allows them to receive favor allow them to receive, even if they are not hagunim, even if they are not worthy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani nishbati lo'ovos. I have given my word. I have sworn. I have given my oath to the ovos, which means that even though they are unworthy, I will never abandon them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to the ovos that no matter what the situation, he never abandons Klal Yisrael. Imkain. So being that they have schus ovos, to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, HaKadosh Baruch Hu committed, Imkain im heyoy she'enam hagunim. So in spite of the fact that certain people, right, may be unworthy, nevertheless, Yizku, there will still be zoiche to have, right, certain amount of reward, certain amount of schar, of favor. Bishvil sheheim mizera ho'ovois shenishbati lohem. Because they are the offspring of the ovois to whom I gave my word. I gave my shvuah. And l'tichoch, and therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anhileim v'anhigeim, says, I will lead them and I will guide them. Achisuknu b'zbezus Hashem, they will become perfected. Which means there's another nekuda that the Talmud Devar emphasizes. Schus ovois doesn't merely mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu has stam rachmonis for schus ovois. But being that they have schus ovois, they have the seeds of the ovois within them, there's a good chance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I go with them, so to speak, in the right way, they'll come back eventually. Eventually they'll come back. Because they have it in them. Because they are the offspring of the ovois. And being they are the offspring of the ovois, they are an extension of the ovois. And Memele, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, instead of destroying them or like that, I will lead them and I will guide them, he says, until they are perfected. Because they have strong potential. That's the key word. Because they stem from the ovois. They are descendants of the ovois. So now, the Midah Hayud Beis is Ashenishbato Lavoiseinu. That's the Midah of Rachamim. That even if they are not Hagunim, that even though they might be unworthy, but nevertheless, they will be zeichet to favor. They will be zeichet, as the Pesuk says, Bechanoisis Asherocha, and they will be zeichet to a matnas chinom. Why will they be zeichet? Because Ashenishbato Lavoiseinu. Because there's a commitment to the ovois. And being that there's a commitment to the ovois, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the offspring will also merit favor. If that's the case, so what do we learn from that midah? How do we incorporate that midah in our own lives? Says the Torah Devar, V'kach yeh ho'odom. This, in fact, should also be the hanhoge. This should be the hanhoge that we behave also in the same manner. That afim yivga b'rishoyim. That even if a person encounters wicked people, Al yisachzor kenegdem, or yecharfim kiyotze. He should not behave cruelly towards them. He should not taunt them. He should not pain them, and so on, or shame them. El yirachem aleim, but really he should have pity on them. The yoimar, and he says, no matter what they are, but soif soif hem bnei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. They have the yichus that they are bnei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Im hem einam kisherim. So even though they themselves may not be kosher, they are not righteous, but Habisayim Kisherim. But nevertheless, right, their avos, their ancestors, the forefathers, they were Kisherim, Vahagunim, and they were worthy. And Amela Vahamivaza Habonim Mivaza Ovois. If you're Mivaza the children, you are Mivaza the Ovois. Ein Ritsoini Sheyizbazu Avoisayim Al Yodi. I don't want their fathers to be Mivuza, to become shamed or despised because of me. That's what you say. Because if you're mevaza the offspring, in effect you're being mevaza the ovos, the parents, the ancestors. U'mechase el boinam, and therefore instead you try to cover up, to conceal the disgrace, that it doesn't come out, that it doesn't become public knowledge, and so on. U'mesaknam, and try to work on helping them to improve it, kivikoicha, as much as you can. We see from these few lines also that the Toimer Devaira's opinion is that the way schus ovos works, because one can ask really a question, one can ask, how does schus ovos work? So if the ovos were great, so how does the schusim that the ovos, right, that the ovos have performed, or have, the mitzvahs that they performed, how does it work for the children? The children of Maisa didn't do it, they didn't earn anything. How does the inyan of schus ovos works? So one nekuda, first of all, that we see is, and that's something which really, the Mir Mashgiach, Rabbi Yeruchim the Sefer, Musrei HaTorah, in Parshas Vayera, Rabbi Yeruchim points out, and he says, that the truth is, chus ovois means not merely the chus of the ovois, Not only this, not merely that the schus of the avos, you know, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, like there's a, like you have a box of schusim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, this box of schusim is from the avos. I'm going to take out and give it to the children. Just take out schusim here, here. Let the children be in the hand. Let the children benefit from schus avos. That's not what it means. First of all, what it means is as follows. It means when Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave a shvuah to the avos, not to abandon the offspring. It means because with this shvuah, it became a bekoich, a potential that every yid has a koich to become great. And even if he has a yerida, even though he might fall, but he has the potential, nevertheless, to bounce back and to turn back to his shayrish, to turn back to his roots. In the same way, for example, even though now you don't see it, now according to this person's behavior, he seems far, far from his roots, far, far from his shayrish. He seemed to have strayed so far away. However, in the same way, if you take, says your Biruchim, if you would take a seed, and of course, looking at a seed the way it is, this seed being viewed, being observed by the naked eye, is just a little seed. It seems to be something that's very, very worthless. Who would believe that if you take that seed and you plant it in the ground, that from one little seed, right, eventually, over time, what happens is you have a tree, and a mighty tree, a big tree, with branches and branches and 100 leaves, and then you have fruits with all of the wonders of the fruit that Hakadosh Baruch Hu creates, with all of the peels and all of the different colors, different seeds, different fruits, and so on and so forth. And that fruit again has another little seed of a similar kind, which allows it to reproduce again, over and over again, right till the end of time. Being that we know that this seed can produce so many trees or so many pears to come out of one seed, the fact that now it's still a seed does not mean that it's not choshev, because the whole osid, the whole future lies now in that seed. That seed now is a bundle of potential. That seed is a source of potential. In other words, all the genetic information, right? Now we can relate to that in the modern technology. All the genetic information is on the little seed. So everything that's going to, right, be an outgrowth of that seed when you use the seed properly, and you're going to have, right, hundreds and hundreds of fruits possibly, and those fruits in turn are going to have similar seeds, right, which endless of pears are going to come out. It all starts with the first seed. So that first seed basically has all the potential in the world, that even though there's no pears yet, nobody's going to say that seed, without the seed you don't have anything. That's what all comes from. Every yid has in himself the seed. He is the seed of the Ovis HaKadoshim. He's B'nei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, therefore has tremendous amount of potential, even though you don't see it. It didn't come out yet. Forget, his anhogi might be contrary, just in the opposite direction. But that is the koyach. The fact that Kosh Baruch Hu swore to the Yovis not to abandon Kosovo means that he gave each yid that koyach, that seed. So every yid technically has that potential. Doesn't make a difference whether he already realized the potential or not. The Hashiva says you pay for the potential. That's what you pay for. You pay for the potential. People today, you know, who are business conscious, How do you sell real estate? Property, right? You have a property that has a potential to build a skyscraper on it. That property sells for a lot of money. There's, meantime, it's marshes. It might be muddy. It might be full of rocks, full of shrubs, full of... It's a despicable sight. It's an eyesore. That piece of property is going to go for a lot of money. Why? Look at it now. It's nothing. No, potential. You don't even have the permits yet. You have nothing. And people pay a lot of money for that piece of property. Why? Because there's a potential there. You can build on it. Every yid you can build on. Every yid is a piece of property that you could build on. And you could build rabbi-sized skyscrapers on every yid. That's his koyach. That is his potential. So don't look at a yid, never the situations, the challenges of life that drew him, and maybe, therefore, became attracted to a certain situation, but realized the potential, the koyach that he has in him. And that koyach is something, just, because Baruch Hu will just show a little bit of light, and Yidin will see a little bit of light, and all of a sudden, as the Navi says, Yidin will come turning and running back to Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it's in them. It's in their genetic makeup. They have to see all the information of Kedusha they have within themselves. It's covered over with Levushim, with exterior coverings, artificial coverings over, and everyone's not noticed, but in the panemius of every yid, there is that seed of Kedusha, which has tremendous koyach and has tremendous, tremendous potential. But there's also another nekuda. There's another nekuda when we talk about schus avos, and this is, he mentioned the term of Dvayri, he says, the way schus avos works is, because if you're mevazah the bonim, you're mevazah the avos. So the reason schus ovis works for the bonim is not because the bonim take the schus. It's the schus for the parents themselves. The parents who deserve schus, they don't deserve embarrassment. So if you're going to be mevazah the bonim, then the parents are becoming mevuzah, and they don't deserve that embarrassment. They are erlich, the ovis hakdoshim. Right? You are the greatest of our people. And therefore, says the Talmud Devarim, you should look in the same way towards any yid. That even though this yid himself may not be the kind of yid that we hope that he should be, he's not the kind of yid that he's capable really of being, but if you're going to start being mevazah people, you're going to start being an arzer, you're going to behave cruelly toward them, you're being mevazah the ovois, and the ovois were not that way. Go back one generation, whether it's two generations, it doesn't make a difference how many generations. That's where he comes from. That's where his shoyrish is from. That's where his source is from. And mevazah habonim, he says, mevazah is ovois. So says the Talmud of Oyrim. One who's mevazah the bonim, in fact, is mevazah the ovois. And I just want to mention to you something very interesting. When you talk about the impression that ovois bechlal make on bonim on a daily life, in daily life, the impression that ovois make on bonim. Some Sefer once said in a drosha to Shabbos HaGodol. In the drushas of Shabbos HaGodol, in the standard print of the drushas, some Sefer, it's in Daf Resh Nun Hey. And some Sefer said the following, he just quote you a number of lines. He says, why is it the phenomenon is you find parents that follow B'derech Hashem, right? They daven every day, even with a minyan, right? Shemira Shabbos Kashrus, and for some reason the children don't follow. The children don't follow. You see it many, many times. Sometimes you see what we would say, oh, the best of families, we would say many times, right? The best of families. But yet, the children don't follow in the same way. What is the reason? Some Sefer spoke about it. You're talking about, you know, already in the 1800s, early 1800s. Sefer was Nifter 1839. So he writes as follows, in a drosha to Shabbos HaGodol. Einenu royos, he says. There's a phenomenon that we see, that we behold. Ki ha'ovois, that the parents, Aval pi shloi soru midvar Hashem, even though the parents have not turned away, v'oisim kol mitzvoiseyem, but they do all their mitzvahs, mitzvahs anoshu molomoda. What the Chassam Sofer says? They do mitzvahs out of habit. Which means, yes, they do all the mitzvahs, but there's no life in those mitzvahs. There's no excitement in those mitzvahs. Son sees his father getting up, you know, reluctantly, had to get up to minyan, and he mumbles under his mouth, you know, there's this whole situation. And he sees that everything is the father, he's doing it as if he's forced to do it. He does not see the enjoyment of his father or his parents' life is an avodas Hashem. But he sees clearly what does make his father happy. These are other inyonim. He sees the secular world out there. He sees when the father has free time, what does he use, right? What does he use in his spare time, if there is such a thing called spare time? Because it's not a Jewish concept. No such thing as spare time. But what does he do in his spare time? What does he choose to do? What gives him satisfaction? Sam Sefer, when you have parents that call mitzvah say a mitzvah sanoshim mulamodo, they do mitzvahs out of habit, but loy loimdim v'lo yishoma al piyem shum dvar teire, but you don't hear dvar teire on their mouth. Now, what's the topic of conversation? Is it dvar teire or is it the news? What is it? Oy musar. Not only that, they know mekabel pnei shum moira teire. His father doesn't go to a rav, he doesn't go to a rebbe. He's not mischaber himself to talmid chachomim. He doesn't have any interest to keep company with these kind of people. Va'abonim, and therefore the children she'enam royim v'shoyimim mavisayim shem shemayim shogar b'fiyim. They don't really see the shem shemayim. They see things out of habit, but they don't really see that the shem shemayim is something that belongs in them, that the father should use it and turn to it. They didn't really see the pnimius of the mitzvahs. Lohem, to the sons already, see, to the sons is already a step down. Lohem, nechshav masav yiseim shigoyin ishtus. They think what my father is doing. It's a mishugas, it's a shtus, and so on. Here we had a situation. This property here, this house actually, the house that we had bought many years ago belonged to a doctor. His name was Dr. Black. A doctor. It was a yid. That was not observing yid. Like many American Jews, the doctor, and when the house was shown, he had a wife who was in depression. Clearly, she was sitting there, terribly, terribly depressed. She wasn't interested in people coming and going. She didn't react. She ignored anyone who came in, and it was something that was clearly noticeable. She wasn't not only she wasn't involved at all. You could see there is something wrong. And later on, when we spoke to this Dr. Black, he says, "Yes, the wife is depressed." He says, "You know why?" He says, you know, my son went to yeshiva. He went up to Bar Mitzvah, went to Talmud Torah, which means he went an hour or two, a couple of days a week, or maybe once a week even. So ultimately, he married out of the faith. His mother couldn't take it, and she fell into depression. But you ask him, why is he so surprised? What did that child see anything in the house that should make him feel that it's important to be Jewish? What did he see? In other words, the parents, still had the sensitivity because from their parents, they're still closer connected. That they haven't torn away that much. They still have that sensitivity. That no matter what you do, even if you're not observant, but you can't marry out of the faith, that you can't do. Today, it's no more a big deal. It's not an issue anymore. You're a bigot if you don't. You're makpid davke to marry within the Jewish race. Well, the Jewish race is a superior race. Right? They don't understand that. So this is the idea. The bonim themselves see the parents, kashrus and Shabbos, but the parents are doing it without a tam, without any simcha, without any input, without any life. It's a shtus to get practice. That's how the sons look upon it. Menichim tefillin, they ain't a moichlin nevelis. Why not? Alkim yoytzim and klal yisrael, so those children already, they stray. You know the parents observe Yiddishkeit, but they observe Yiddishkeit in a way, it's not contagious. You have to observe Yiddishkeit in a way that it's contagious, that anybody who sees should say, I also would like to be like that. Their Yiddishkeit is not being observed that way. It says, some cipher, therefore, yoytzim and klal yisrael, you know what he says later? The ein lahashimam, you can't blame them. That's a sefer. Where should they know? Where should they learn? Where should they know? They don't know any better. They don't see much better. That which they see is not much better. And so on, says some sefer. This is the situation. So kaponim, this is what we see. The hashpoyas of parents on children can go both ways, can go both directions. And even if so-called they seem to be doing the right thing is not enough. You have to do really the right thing. You have to do the right thing when it becomes evident that you really, this is the definition of life. To you, this is what life is all about. That is what you're supposed to be doing. And children sense that this is really your ikar goal in life. This is what gives you satisfaction. This is what gives you hanoah. This is what we have to understand. And the truth is, when the Talmud Devarah talks about the chashivas, it talks about the chashivas of schusavos. When talking about the Chashivas of Chusavos, we know that Rashi tells us in Chumash that in fact, that by Golus Mitzrayim, when Yidin were Mitzrayim, the Oves Avraham Yitzchak VeYaakov in their kever felt the pain of the Bnei Yisrael being in Mitzrayim. So says Rashi. In other words, again, the Shaykhs that we talk about, the Shaykhs that we have to the Oves HaKadoshim, that we draw on the Chus of the Oves are always connected. The Yovis are always connected, and when the Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, Rashi says that the Ovis in Kever, they were margish, the pain, they felt the pain, and when Geulas Mitzrayim took place, Rashi tells us it was a Geula for the Ovis themselves, even though the goal, physically they were not in Mitzrayim, but they felt the pain. And therefore, he says, the Yeshua, the Klal Yisrael, coming out of Mitzrayim, was a Geula not only for the Bnei Yisrael who were actually in Mitzrayim, but it was also a Geula for the Bnei Yisrael as well. Let's take a look, Rabbi, a little bit at the sheet that we have here. Let's see what we're going to do here. First of all, talking about Schus Avos. Okay, we'll do a little bit selective over here. We'll do the first item that we have is from Rav Schwab, from the Sefer Mayon Beis HaShoeva. It's in Parshas Lech Lecha. So in Parshas Lech Lecha, we have the Eschol Goy Godel. Vavarechecho, vagavlo shemecho, v'yehei brocho. Because brocho is promising Avraham Avinu. He says, lech lochem yatzchem elatchem beisavicho, and I promise you all the good things. V'eschol gogodol, I will make you to a greater nation. Vavarechecho, vagavlo shemecho. And what does Rashi say? As we know, it's a Gemara in Psochim. Right? Omer Abshimim ben Lokish, v'eschol gogodol, zeh shoimrim lekei Avraham. Vagavlo shemecho, zeh shoimrim, v'rechecho, that's lekei Yitzchok. Vagavlo shemecho, that Shoim Rimelke Yaakov, Yochol Yechoisman Bikulam. So you might think that when we conclude the bracha, we would say Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogen Avraham, Mogen Yitzchak, Mogen Yaakov. No. It says, Talmud Loima, V'yehei Brocha, Bechu Choisman, Vein Choisman Bikulam. We only conclude with Mogen Avraham. So again, so the Kitchila, we mentioned all three. Every Tfilah, every Shemane Esra. You realize we draw on Tchus Avos. But nevertheless, but when we conclude the bracha, it's only Avraham Avinu. What is the message over here? We start with all of the Avos, but yet we conclude with Avraham. Says Rav Schwab, Avodas Adam mi Yisrael, the Avodah v'Yid is Tiporet lebeis Roshim. It really branches out, he says, into two directions. Aleph, the first thing is Mesoiris Avodas of Shebiyodoi. The Avodah v'Yid is based upon the Mesoiris Avodas that he has. That is the first thing. Beis, the second thing, is also Avodas Atzmoi, as you will soon explain. There really are two aspects to his Avodah. There's one Avodah which is his Mesoiris, and then there's also Avodas Atzmoi, his own Avodah. How do we mean that? V'hainu, Shemitzarechot, Mitzarechot onu makirim. On the one hand, we recognize She'ein onu tchilas hakdusha. We know we are not the beginning of Kedusha, we are not the foundation of our Kedusha. We are an extension of the Kedusha. We understand that Mibli HaTorah HaMesura B'Yodeinu Midor Dor Me'av Leben U'merav LeTalmud Loi Neida Ma'alav Oides Hashem Elokeinu. So that's clear. We need the Mesura. Without the Mesura, certainly we cannot move. We cannot begin to do any Avodah. So obviously we are not Techilas HaKadusha, we're not the initiators, we are the followers. We follow the footsteps of our parents, who are Mekabel from their parents, and Mekabel from their parents, a Talmud from his Rebbe from his Rebbe, and so on. So that's called our Avodah is based upon Mesoira. That's one aspect. However, u'me'idach gisa, from the other side, harei lekol echad yitzroi haproti, every person has his own particular yitzhara. No two people have the exact same challenges. By the way, even if you throw two people into the same muck in the soyin, it doesn't mean that they have the same challenge. You know why? Because some people are more, right, vulnerable. Some people are less vulnerable. Some people are weaker. Some people are stronger. Some people have bigger yetzaharas. Some people have smaller yetzaharas. So even the same challenges, right, that people go through, I have my own yetzahara, you have your own yetzahara. So my challenges are mine exclusively, are not the same as yours, not the same that my father had necessarily, or my great-grandfather, and so on. As the Gemara says in Kedushin, that the Yetzirah is mechadish, the Yetzirah, every day he doesn't come dafke with the old. Yetzirah is mechadish new ways. He comes with new strategies. If you think that you outsmarted the Yetzirah yesterday, today the Yetzirah comes with a new idea. He comes with mechadish new things. To snare you, to grab you, to trap you. B'nisnoinus chadoshim u'betachbule shoinus. Yetzirah always comes up with new ideas, with new things. And therefore, you always have to be on your toes. You have to be on your toes every day, 24 hours a day, 24-7. Literally. Shabbos also, by the way. The Yetzirah and Shabbos too. The Yetzirah doesn't rest. You have to rest on Shabbos, not the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah doesn't rest on Shabbos. Yetzirah is giving you a run for your money on Shabbos every day of the year. Except Yom Kippur, possibly. The Sotin cannot be Mekatrik, which the Gemara says. Akuponim. V'tzorech ha'odom le'ezor ki gibor chalotzov. So you have to be on guard. You have to be armed, like a gibor. You have to be armed with ammunition. U'lehilochem ba'yetzahore shaloi ki ilo hu ba'atzmo yatzcholos ha'kedusha. Regarding your own challenges, it starts from you. Because your parents and so on, that's not the same challenges. It might have been your father. It might have been your grandfather. But your yetzahore, that's you. So as far as your challenges are concerned, you're the initiator. It starts from you. This avodah starts from you. How to fight your yetzahara, how to deal with yetzahara. In that sense, fighting your yetzahara, you're the tchilas hakedusha. It starts from you. You are the beginning. Va'al zeh omar hatana. He says a very beautiful pshat. It says in the Haggadah, Shul Pesach. If you ever notice, you see the lashon what it says. We all say that. It says mitchilo oiv de avodah zara hayaviseinu. That in the beginning. Right? Our forefathers were Oiv Davod Zor, starting from Terach, of course. Right? Starting that area. That's Kufa. So our Ovois in the beginning were Oiv Davod Zor. And what does it say? The Achshav, and now, Koravnu Hamokoim Lavodosei. What do you mean now? Should have said, the Achakach, and afterwards. In other words, Mitchila in the beginning, Oiv Davod Zor Veseinu. The Achakach, and afterwards. What do you mean now? It didn't start now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Makavas now when we're saying the Haggadah, now when we're saying the Seder, right? For the last 2,000 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, right? So I should have said, not Va'achshav, and now, when we're sitting at the Seder, we're saying, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Makavas. Should have said Va'achakach, in other words, after the Tekufa of Terach and so on, Va'achakach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Makavas. Shalachoy Rekoshe, Harei Kevar Niskarvu Lavidosoi, Niskaravnu Lavidosoi, we are ready. Have become mekarev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's avodah lifnei yosef mishloishes alofim mishloishmei yoshona. Go back 3,300 years. V'hoyel oloimer v'achakach Right? Koravnu hamokam labadosoi. Why say achshav? Said Rav Schwab, no, it's not a mistake. Ela shepirusha is achshav mamish b'chol yoyim b'yoyim matzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu esonu shalish lad bonei yetzorah. Achshav, we need iskarvis every day. Every day you need assistance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day you need a new iskarvis. The iskarvis of yesterday will not help you for today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one moment will stop assisting you, will stop giving you satay d'shamayah, it's over. So the truth is, v'achshav, it's today. Because each and every one of us have our own nisyonis, which continues on b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, and therefore we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be matzalos, that the Yetzer should not have shlita. And that's how we send the Yerotzen, right, after the Birchas HaShachar, after all the brachos, Shtagalenim B'tzari Sech, and so on and so forth. V'alishlot bonu Yetzer Hara. Every day we say that. It's not enough we said it yesterday, and the day before, and the day before. V'alishlot bonu. V'choyfis Yitzreinu Lishtabedloch. Different phrases, different wording, different bakoshes. All on the focus that we should be able to have control over our Yetzer Hara, rather than the Yetzer Hara having control over us. So it's va'achshav, yes, now. Mamish, as we speak, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mekar of us, and He is. And He is. So va'achshav, say, karavna amokam labadosu. V'lochein, therefore, says Rosh Hashanah. So it comes out. The Torah that we have, of course, comes from the Mesoiris HaOvos. But the way we are mekayim the Torah, the way, the koiches, that's our own challenges. It's not just challenges of the obvious that we have. They had their challenges, but we have our own challenges. So how to deal with the Messiah? How to be able to be Mekayim the Messiah? That's our own challenge. So he says, therefore, that's why we bow down, he says, with Tfilis Ha'amidah. That's why we bow down when it comes to the Shemoneh Esrei, right? We bow down B'tchilas Birchis Ovos. We bow down the beginning, Shoimrim, what do we say? We say, L'kei Avrom, L'kei Yitzchav, L'kei Yaakov. You know why we bow down? Because we want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to make ourselves, when you bow, you're making yourself subordinate. We want to be mevatel ourselves to serve Hashem. In other words, we say like this. We had forefathers. Who did we have? We had Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Many people say that they were ancients. You know, that's old fashioned. We say no. We are mevatel ourselves to their hashkofa and to their Messiah, what they have given us. That's what we bow down. Bow down means we receive it, we accept it. We bow down. To what do we bow down? To Lekei Avraham, to Lekei Yitzchak, Yaakov. We bow down, we are machni ourselves. We don't think that we are smarter, we don't think we understand better. They were, you know, days of old. That doesn't belong today. Today we live in modern times. No. We are machni ourselves, we bow down to the God of Avraham, to the God of Israel, to that Messiah. That's the idea. In other words, we clearly demonstrate we accept the Messiah's office to be our way of life. But in addition to that, now that we have accepted the Messiah, how do we deal with the challenges? My intentions are great. You know what? I want to be an El Chayit, but you know what? I have a big Yetzer Hara too. So I have conflict, I have tension. On the one hand, right, I understand and I want to be committed. I want to be Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. But Mitzad Hasheni, what do I do with my challenges? So therefore, v'noisav lozeh. So in addition to the first bowing down, you need a second bowing down. When do we bow down the second time? By Morgan Avraham. What does that mean? Explains Rav Schwab. Listen to what he says. V'noisav lozeh, koirim, we also bow down, b'chasimis Morgan Avraham. What does Avraham Avinu represent? Avraham Avinu says, the Gemara Chagigia shoye tchilos legerim. He was the first of all of the gerim. He was the first one. He was the first one who turned around to accept the Boir Olam as being the one and only. He was the first ger ever. The Gemara says, "Boy Avraham Ivri." Why was he called Avraham Ivri? Because Chazal say Ivri means shekol oilam kulay me'aver echad v'hu me'aver echad. So it's Mefurish in Chazal. He once said a shir, once a chumash in the morning, one of the Shabbos, and we spoke about that. Avraham Avinu was called Avraham Ivri. He's not nispoil. He doesn't go with the flow. He's not swayed by public opinion. The whole world can say this, and he is on the other side. The whole world is Me'ever Echad, and he's Me'ever Echad. He's on the other side, Avraham Ivri. He does not mind. He does not become influenced. Avraham Avinu has the power of his mind to follow the ways of Hashem, even though the whole world is against him. That's Avraham Ivri. He's able to stand alone. So Avraham Avinu shows that what? The koyach of standing up against all of the temptations and all of the influences in the world. Who more than Avraham Avinu? He was Tchila Legeren. He was the first. In the same way that Avraham Avinu was Tchila, we are also Tchila. Because, like, I'm Tchila. My Yetzer is mine. No one has mine. You have yours. And he has his. So, Nesem Avraham Avinu, except that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And he was the Tchila, he was the first. I also follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. We bow down, Morgan Avraham, to accept that Avodah, like Avraham Avinu, that we deal with ourselves in spite of the fact that the Nesayonis out there are so strong, as if I am the first. And you know what? My Yetzer Hara, for me, it's the first. Avraham Avinu was the first. He was Taka the first. But for my Yetzer Hara, I am the first. The idea is, L'hoirois b'kriyoseinu, we bow down to show, to demonstrate, Al Kabbalah Avodas Hashem b'oifim protish kol yochid v'yochid. Avraham Avinu was a yochid, my Avodah is a yochid. No two Yidin's Avodah are exactly the same. Your Avodah is a yochid. My Avodah is a yochid. Your Avodah is a yochid. In that sense, Mogen Avraham, I'm bowing down to follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. The entire world can be on one side, Avraham Avinu still remains oblivious, and he's on the other side. And therefore, there's something special, unique. Every Yid has a unique Derech Avodah. Bebchinas Avraham Avinu. In that sense, he's also Avraham Avinu. Every Yid is a mirror image of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a first, you're also a first. In your Avodah, you're a first. In your Nesiyonis, you're a first. With your Yetzirah, with your Koiches, with your capabilities, you are a first. As if you were Taka the Maschil. So this is, we see again, the relationship between the Ovois and then your responsibility. So it's a combination of two. It's the Koich of the Ovois. The Ovois have given me the Messiah, but how I deal with that Messiah, how I'm able, Taka, to be Mekayim that Messiah, how I'm able to be successful in keeping that Messiah, that's me. That's the Mogen Avraham in me. That's the Mogen Avraham. Avraham Ho Ivri. Every Yid is a Yochid in his Avodah. And that's what we follow. There's one more Nekudah, Rabbi, so we won't be able to do the whole thing. But let's take a look. It's just amazing words from B'chaim Volozhin, number 3, on top, on the left side. All the way on top. This is Nesefer Ruach Chaim. Nesefer Ruach Chaim from B'chaim Volozhin. These are words that are quoted all over, because these words are really are truly immortal words. You might remember the Mishnah of Avos, where it says, Eser Nisyoinis Nisnasa Avraham Avinu. The Mishnah Novi says in Perikei that Avraham Avinu underwent, right? He underwent 10 Nisyoinis. There's another phrase in that same Mishnah. It says, Asora Doiris, the 10 generations, Minoyach Ad Avraham. Right? Asora Doiris, Me'odam Vad Noyach. And there are 10 generations from Noyach till Avraham. It doesn't say Avraham Avinu. It says Avraham. Why do you have to add Avinu? We're talking about Avraham. Asora Doiris, it says, Minoyach Ad Avraham. No Avinu. But Asora Nisyoinis Nisnase Avraham Avinu. Why by the Nisyoinis is the word Avinu mentioned? Why do we have to emphasize he was Avinu, he was our father? Before it doesn't mention he was our father. We know he's our father. Asora Doiris Menoyechad Avraham. It doesn't say Avinu. Why here Asora Nisyoinis Nisnase Avraham Avinu? It says Avinu. Amazing words. Listen to the words of the B'chaim Volozhin. The B'chaim Volozhin Azoi. Kan Omar Avraham Avinu. Here he says by the Nisyoinis, he refers to him, not Stam Avraham. He refers to him as Avraham Avinu. V'le'el Omar, and above the Mishnah said simply, Minoyach Vad Avraham. V'le'el Omar Avinu, he didn't say Avinu. Yitze Bozeh, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Kavon of the Tana is, Apimash Yikosot is the Posuk in Mishle. The Mishnah says the following, Mishalech Bitumoy Tzadik, if a Tzadik walks bitmimis, he follows the ways of Hashem. Bitmimis means he doesn't ask any questions. He's mevatel himself totally to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what tmimis means. Tmimis means he doesn't need an answer. Everything. Why? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? Why do we do that? Hakodesh Baruch Hu told us to do it. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. That's called bitmimis. A person who walks in the ways of Hashem, bitumoy. Tumoy means bitmimis. What is the reward? Ashrei bonav achrov. His sons will follow after him. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, this is what he says. Ki kama midos shatzadik torach. Because all of the midos that the tzadik was matriach, he worked at these midos. The yoga lahasigom. And he toiled so difficult, with such koiches, lahasigom, to acquire. Lebon of achrod heimo kiteva mutve. Look what Reb Chaim is saying. Listen to what Rabbi said. The tzadik, the first one, the tzadik had to work very hard for these midos. Works for it. You know what happens when you work at a midah? When you work at something, it becomes part of you. Once it becomes part of you, then you are able to be meirishit. You give it over to your children. A father, right? Children, right? Receive hereditary traits, things that are part of the genetic makeup of their parents. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, midos that parents worked at, they toiled at, they sweated at, it became part of every fiber of their being. Which means for the children, it's going to come easier. Why? Because the parents had to work to acquire it. Once it became part of the parents, so now in the same way, right, that they give over the color of hair, the color of eyes, whatever it is, they also give over their character traits. Because these midos have become ingrained, have become part of them. Look what he says. The tzaddik had to be toireach. The tzaddik had to be miyageya, had to work for it. But lebon of achrov, hey moketeva mutva. For the bottom is second nature already. Ubiktas yegiya, only with a little bit of work, a little bit of, right? Just with a little bit of extra, he says, of extra input. Yagiyu lazeh, they'll be able to achieve it. Look what he says. Incredible words, and we know that. K'moy shenira b'chush, we can see it clearly. Sherabim me'amei ho'oretz ma'ha'yehudim mo'yisrim es atzmam al Kiddush Hashem. We know through our history, Yidden gave their lives for Kiddush Hashem. All periods of history. You're going to ask yourself, these people were the greatest tzaddikim in the world. No. You had common people, common Yidden. By the way, you had Yidden that weren't even that frum. But when they were pushed in the corner, against the corner, either give up your religion, or convert, or die, right? Convert. They gave up their lives for Kiddush Hashem. Where did that koyach come from? It's not they were great Bala Madrega. These are Amaratzim, as he says. Rabbi Mohammed Horetz. Common folk, common Jews. You know why? Because it became part of their nature from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the one who gave Mesiras Nefesh, the koyach of Mesiras Nefesh to the world. Avraham Avinu did it many, many times. Being Avraham Avinu did it so many times, it became part of the makeup of Avraham Avinu. All of the descendants of Avraham Avinu yarshened that koyach of Mesiras Nefesh. So his nesyonis, Rabbi Isai, that Avraham Avinu went through was not for himself alone. Because being that he went through the nesyonis, he now gave us the koyach also to withstand all of the challenges. We have the koyach. You say, where do I get the koyach from? I'm a simple yid. Where have the koyach? Where do I have the koyach to be able to oppose and withstand, to be oymed b'nesoyin? You have it from Avraham Avinu. He already paved the way for you. Because being that he took a work for it. He had to acquire it. He had to achieve it. He had 10 nesyonis. But these 10 nesyonis reconstructed Avraham Avinu. He became an Avraham Avinu and a soyan dig Avraham Avinu. He became an Avraham Avinu who went through nesyonis. So now it's a different Avraham Avinu. That's part of his metzias. His children, his descendants, and so on, yarshened it already. So even though they didn't work at it, Rabbi Mamoritz, as he says, V'hu mutva bonu ma'ovinu Avraham shemosa nafshoi le'urkazdim, when he was thrown into the furnace, as you know, by Nimrod, Alamonosai, for his faith. And he says, V'chein kol ha'asor nesyonis, and the same thing, all of the 10 nesyonis, you know what the purpose was? Hoya lehayshir haderech, to straighten the way, to pave the way lefoneinu. It all comes from Avraham Avinu. V'chein ha'yisayris liyodom, even more he says. You know, a person sometimes has a yisayris, not like today. Today, you know, okay, all you have to do is get on a plane if you want to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a very easy thing to want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Not too much of a sacrifice. Costs a little bit of money, but that's it. You can go. But Chaim Volozhiner talks about in his days, in order meant to go to Eretz Yisrael. Meant to go to Eretz Yisrael meant it was a trip of weeks and weeks with dangers, with storms and everything. With Skoros Nefesh is Mamish, he says. Where does the Yid get a Cyrus to want to go to Eretz Yisrael, that Mesiras Nefesh? In his time, you know what came from? Avraham Avinu paved the way, because Lech Lecho Me'aretz Chomelatcho. Avraham Avinu gave up everything. He gave up his father, his family, gave up everything that he had way back home to go to Eretz Yisrael. That Nisoyin that Avraham Avinu went through became now second nature for any Yid to be able to meet the same challenge. Look what he says. V'chein Nisoyiris l'yodon pisoyim. All of a sudden, a Yid has a Nisoyiris. Leilach L'Eretz HaKodesh, hu min Nisoyin Lech Lecho. And where does a Yid have a koyach to say Gamzul L'toivah? Where does the Yid have that when he goes and he suffers pain and hardship, instead of throwing up his hands and falling, right, into Yush and into despair, he's able to say, he's able to hang on. He's able to hang on to say, you know what? Kol ma de Ovid Rachmona letav Ovid. You know where you get it from? Also from Avraham Avinu. The Kabbalah is called the Avdim, and to have the koyach to accept whatever happens mishamayo. Letav is minisoyin harov. Vahi rov boretz, Avraham Avinu go down to Mitzrayim. Ravino doesn't fall apart. So here, Acha Midois HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was not Nahar after the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it says, Asorah Nisyoinis, Nisnasa Avraham Avinu. He's our father. And if he's our father, we yarshin from him. Right? We inherit from him all of his character traits. Right? This is part of his genetic makeup. That's what the Asura Nisyonis was. Chaim is coming to tell us that we have the koyach. Chaim with Avraham Avinu was able to manage all the Asura Nisyonis from whatever challenges you have. If you really want to fight those challenges, and in Mispal Dakosh Baruch Hu, you will have the Siyata Dishmai to do it. Let me just conclude, Rabbi Isai. Those who heard me mention Takan Shabbos, somebody asked me after Shabbos, you should tape it from on the telephone. We mentioned, we spoke about what Rabbeinu Brechia, we're concluding with this. A very interesting moshul that Rabbeinu Brechia was one of the Chachma Sfardim. It's called Rabbeinu Brechia Hanagdon. And he talks about the Koyach of the Yovis, talking about the Schus Ovis, Avraham Avinu. Their Koyaches went into us. They already paved the way for us. So Rabbeinu Brechia says, he says that once all of the Yovis and all the birds got together, that all of the birds got together and they said, we want to appoint a king upon us. One bird should be the melech over all the yifes. And therefore, you can imagine all the birds got together. There's hundreds and hundreds of species of birds. Small birds, big birds, little birds, all kinds of birds, right, from all over. Exotic birds, all the birds in the world. They got together and now they have the top kid have to choose a melech. So they said, how are we going to choose a melech? Who's the appropriate melech? So they decided they would have to run a contest. The contest is going to be whichever bird is able to fly the highest. That bird is going to be, he proved himself that he's going to be the melech over all of the yifes. That bird. So the mighty eagle, the Nesher, of course, who has the koyach, as we know, to fly the highest. He already was talking to himself. He says, hey, so I got it made. He says, I have it in the bag. He says, he knows he can fly the highest. Nobody cannot fly. The Nesher, the eagle. Rashi says it on the Pasuk, Ves Eschem al Kan Finishorim. Rashi talks about, right, the koyach of the eagle flying higher than all the birds. So Rabbeinu Brechia says, oh, the eagle says, okay, he's more than ready to accept the challenge. Before the contest started, there was this very small, very light bird. Something like a hummingbird. Weighs more or less than a penny. It's called the zarzir. Zarzir is a very, very lightweight bird. Very lightweight bird. And he goes behind the eagle, and unbeknownst to the eagle, he flies and he perches himself on top of the wings of the eagle. And the eagle doesn't even feel it. The eagle doesn't even feel it because the bird weighs so light that he can't feel it. It's like a little ant crawling on your shoulder that sometimes you don't even know it's there. So contest starts, the signal is given, and all the birds try with all their might to fly as high as they can. And sure enough, the Nesher, the eagle, flaps his wings mightily and strongly. Up, up, up he goes and soars as high as he can go. When he can't go any higher, and that's where he stops, he already reached his peak. The little bird that was on top of his shoulders flapped its little wings and flew a tefach above him. That's all he had to do. Sure enough, who turns out to be the melech? That little bird. So Rabbeinu Brechia says, our Torah mitzvahs might be lightweight, he says. There's not too much weight in our Torah mitzvahs, but you know what? We are perched on the shoulders of the Yovis. The Yovis are very, very high. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak Yaakov, we are an extension of the Yovis. And we are perched on top of the shoulders of the Yovis. And therefore, every mitzvah that we do has tremendous chashivas. Because we look at it not in our own light, evaluating it from where we stand, but where we are perched upon. And that was what it is. The koyach of the Yovis have never stopped. The koyach of the Yovis have been implanted in each and every Yid. So every Yid is an extension, is a branch of the Yovis. So therefore, since the Yovis were very high, each and every Yid is very high. And we have a koyach to be zoichet, to be koyach and shleimus, as high as ever possible.